Today's scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Mark 21. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, "If I even touch his garments, I will be made well." And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. They came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he had entered, he said to them, "Why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and began walking, for she was 12 years of age, and they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is God's word.
Good morning. Good to see all of you this morning. If you're visiting us today, welcome. We're so glad you're here, able to worship with us. Again, I want to kind of celebrate with Jeff and his family and friends. Got baptized, and we rejoice with him and his family here. Just want to also say, I think as pastors, we get recognized because we're up in the front, but it's October Pastors Appreciation Month. Thank you so much for acknowledging, thanking us through these gifts. But I also want to acknowledge, our elders and our board members and a lot of you who are serving behind the scenes. Just want to echo that because I think many of you are serving diligently, dedicated to the church. So thank you for serving and leading the church, especially our elders. They do a lot of things behind the scenes without much recognition. So I just want to thank them as well. Okay, we will look at our passage today. I think we looked at baptism this morning. Jeff, praise God for him. Whether it's Jeff or myself or any of you here, we're all on this journey of faith. And faith is important, it's crucial because faith connects us to God. Faith connects us to spiritual reality. We find out who God is through faith. And what we have here in this passage is we have two stories that are intertwined, and they both teach us some things about faith. If you look at it carefully, Jesus performs two miracles, and these two miracles have different audiences. One is this miracle that's done in front of everyone. And so Jesus wants everyone to see and hear what has taken place, and there's a lesson for everyone. It's sort of foundational faith. It's faith that all of us need to know. But when you read on, we have this second miracle that takes place where Jesus takes three of his disciples and only the immediate family and resurrects this girl. So this is another kind of faith, maybe a deeper faith that's really directed to his most inner disciples and the immediate family. And so they really show us what faith is. So here's my outline. We'll talk about faith. Number one, importance of faith. Number two, how to have faith. And then number three, why we should have faith. Okay? Number one, importance of faith. If you have your Bibles, we'll look at, let's start with verse 21. It says, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him. Okay, let's jump down to verse 24. And he went with him, and a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. So the context is, Jesus is on the scene, and there's this great crowd that's around Jesus. They are around Jesus, wanting to get close to him, wanting to touch him, you know, wanting to speak to him. And there's this great crowd. But what's amazing here is, if you kind of jump down, verse 30, Jesus recognizes or feels one particular person's touch. In other words, Jesus is going to heal this daughter of a man named Jairus. Everyone's pressing around him. Everyone's touching him, taking hold of him. But Jesus, in the midst of this great crowd, recognizes, senses, feels one particular touch from this woman who is sick. Now, why is that? So in verse 30, this is what it says. In verse 30, and Jesus perceiving of her disease, and Jesus perceiving in himself the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? Verse 31, and his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? So Jesus says, who touched me? He turns around. Although many people are around him, many people are touching him, pressing around him, he says, who touched me? And disciples, their question is, Jesus, there are a lot of people here. Everyone is touching you. What are you talking about? Why do you ask who touched me? Why does Jesus notice this one particular person's touch? Look at verse 34 with me. Verse 34, and he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Here's why Jesus recognizes this one person's touch. She came with faith. This is why faith is crucial in our Christian life, because it's through faith that we connect with God. It's kind of scary because it's not enough to be around Jesus. It's not enough to be around the church. It's not enough to participate in fellowship events. We can't be around a lot of things, a lot of people. We can't be around the crowd. We can't even attend a Bible study. But without faith, we cannot connect with Christ. I mean, this passage, many people are there. Many people are pressing against Jesus. Many people want a little bit of him. But only one person's touch penetrates into Jesus' heart. Why? Because she came to him with faith. Last year, I had the privilege of going to an NFL game, a real game. I think I've been to maybe two or one before. But this was special because I knew someone who knew someone that was Jeffrey Lurie, who was the owner's wife. So he got remarried to this Asian lady who owned this restaurant in Chinatown. Okay, and my cousin-in-law knew her brother or something like that. So all that to say, what that meant was I got a pass to go to actually, not only to the game, but I actually got on the field and looked at the players and kind of hung out. Like, it was, like, really weird. I got there early, a lot of vibes, and there's, you know, you could see, radio personalities there doing interviews and all these. And so I'm walking around, and I want to take a picture. And so I ask a stranger, we had one pass, so we had to kind of switch back and forth. So I'm by myself. walking around, and I just find someone. I say, hey, can you take a picture of me? Gave my phone, and he says, sure. And he took a picture, and he showed it to me. He goes, look, who's right behind you, right beside you? I made sure that I got, man, what's the coach's name? No, Chip Kelly, thank you. Gosh, I'm a bad fan. Okay, Chip Kelly. Chip Kelly, that's a big deal. The head coach was right here. I mean, I didn't know that because he's so normal. He was short, like my height. I didn't know. But anyway, took a picture, and he goes, look, Chip Kelly's right behind you. And I looked at, and I was like, wow, this is a big deal. I just thought about that. I had no idea it was him. There were tons of people just walking back and forth. Reminded me of this story, how many of us are around Jesus, how many of us are around the church, how many of us are around fellowship or small group events and activities, and we come without faith, and we leave without having been impacted by Christ. Friends, faith is important because it connects us to Jesus. So number one, importance of faith. Number two, if faith is important, well, how do we have or begin to have faith in Jesus? And this bleeding woman shows us. And I'm going to tell you three things. One, she was desperate. Desperation, orientation, substitution. Number one, desperation. Look with me, verse 24 again. And the great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. And who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. So here is her situation. She's been bleeding for 12 years. There was something wrong with her reproductive system. She's bleeding constantly for 12 years, meant there was physical pain, physical discomfort. But look with me what he says in verse 26. Not only is there a physical suffering, verse 26 it says, and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better but rather grew worse. Her desperate situation was not only due to her physical bleeding, but her desperation was there because she had nowhere else to turn to. She came to an end of resources. She was desperate because she tried everything possible, and yet she wasn't healed. Meaning, the first step towards having faith in Christ is having a sense of desperation, having a sense of emptiness. It's not a positive step, but it's a step where we say, I've come to an end of myself. It's not that I'm just going through hardships in life, but I've tried these things in my life to help me, but I've come to an end of myself. I have nothing else to look forward to. There's nothing that could help me. The first step is that she comes in desperation because she has nowhere else to turn to. In some sense, I think we can put it this way. We could put it that sometimes the reason why we don't come to Christ is not so much because we lack faith. I mean, there might be that component, but it's also because there's too much pride. We're still thinking that we can actually make it on our own, that we can actually accomplish things. Now, you can physically, you can maybe in your careers, relationally, maybe you can, but eternally, spiritually, we still haven't, some of us have, we haven't told ourselves, I can make it on my own. I can't do it on my own. That's where we find this woman. There's a sense of desperation and a sense of emptiness in our life. So that's number one. Number two, what we see here is orientation. And I think this is helpful because when you look at this passage, she comes to Jesus and she says, if I could only touch his garment, I will be healed. If you think about that, that's not a theologically correct, right? It's not a precise, deep, strong faith. No, she says, I'm bleeding, I have a problem, I'm in a desperate situation, I just want to touch Jesus, and I think what we can assume is she just wants to touch Jesus and take off. her faith wasn't that strong. It wasn't really correct faith or strong faith. But what she does is she does come to Jesus. In other words, the faith that saves, saving faith, faith that rescues us from our sin, doesn't necessarily have to be that strong. We don't have to have it all together. But what is important is the object of our faith. Not so much the strength or the power or the greatness of our faith, but the object of our faith. Her faith was weak, but she actually came and touched Jesus. An illustration that I think helped me when I thought about it is imagine if there's three people that's trapped in a building that's on fire and they are all on the third floor. The only way to get out is if they jump out of the building. There are firemen in the bottom. They're ready to catch these three people. The first person, lot of faith. They look at the firemen and they say, she says she has 100% faith that they will catch her. She jumps. They catch her. She's rescued. The second person, 50% faith. I'm not sure if they could catch me, but I have no other choice. So with shaky faith, doubting faith, she jumps and they catch her and she's rescued. The third person doubts greatly. She thinks, even if I jump, I know they're not going to catch me. They're not going to catch me. But at the end of the day, she jumps and they catch her. Now the question is the first person more rescued than the third person? No, they're all rescued. They're all saved. Why? Because at the end of the day, every person took that step and jumped off the building. A lot of times, we think that we need to have a perfect faith to come to God. We need to have everything put in order. We need to understand theologically all these concepts to come to God. No, that's not the case. What's important is you come to Jesus with a lot of doubts, with a lot of questions, but you come to Him at the end of the day, recognizing that there's nothing in yourself that can help you to come to God. And you take that step. It might be a weak step. It might be a small step, but it's a step towards Jesus. What's important in saving faith is not the amount of faith, but it's its orientation, that it's directed to Jesus. That's what she had. Her faith wasn't that strong. When you really read, examine her and how she came, what she thought, but she came because there was nothing in her. And she was broken. She came to Jesus. So number two is having right direction of faith or right orientation. We come to Jesus even if our faith is weak. Okay? Number three, substitution. And there's this interesting passage that happens only here in the Gospels. And that's when this woman comes, she touches Jesus. And verse 31, Jesus says, "Who?" And the disciple, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembled and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. What we see here is when this lady, this woman, comes to Jesus and touches him, there's something that goes out from Jesus. And she's immediately healed. Jesus loses a sense of power, and she is made strong. Now, this is unique in all of the Gospels, as far as I could tell, because usually when Jesus does miracles, it's kind of like you're healed, and they're healed immediately. Or Jesus could raise the dead without any sweat. I mean, he has power to do all that he wants, raising the dead, healing the sick, feeding the thousands. I mean, it's done without much energy that's gone out from him. But here in this passage, when the woman touches Jesus, there's the power goes out from him, and the woman is immediately healed. Verse 30, and Jesus, perceiving in himself the power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" What is that? And I think it's really pointing to the cross. What's going on in her life is she's been bleeding for 12 years. And that meant, according to the Old Testament, that she was ceremonially unclean. And that meant two things. One, it meant that she could not go into the temple to worship God. She was on the outside of the community, right? So she could not go into the temple to worship God because she was unclean. And second thing that she could do was she could not touch other people because her touch would have made the other person unclean. So for 12 years, she is isolated from God's people, from community, and from worship, from worshiping God. She's an outcast. She's by herself. She's in isolation. But she comes. And when she touches Jesus, immediately she's healed. And something goes out from Jesus. And I think what's happening here is pointing us to see what's going to take place on the cross. What happens on the cross? On the cross, when Jesus dies, he dies for us. Jesus takes upon our weakness so that we might become strong. Jesus takes our sin, our uncleanness, so that we might become clean. Jesus becomes outcasted so that we might be brought in. What happens? There's this great exchange, and that's what we see here. I think that's important because sometimes when we talk about faith, we say, you know, faith is something that I need to just kind of believe and trust without much information or much knowledge. That's not faith. Faith is you know things about Christ, and in light of what you know, you take that steps of faith towards him. So what we read here is a little portion of what's going to take place on the cross. On the cross, Jesus becomes sin for us so that we might become righteousness before God. This exchange. So those three things. So how do we have faith in Christ? There's a sense of brokenness, desperation. And then there is weak but right orientation, right direction. We take step of faith to Jesus. And then there's substitution, knowing that Jesus will take our sin and we receive his righteousness. How do we have faith? Those three things. My last point is, okay, why is this important? Why is having faith important? And that kind of comes out from the first part of the story or the miracle that Jesus does at the end. If you follow the story, you know, Jesus comes. He is ready to heal this daughter of a man named Jairus. And as he's going to heal this daughter, this little girl, this woman comes and intervenes. And Jesus stops and talks to her. Now think about this. You know, if you are Jairus and those followers right here, let's say your daughter is sick and you're asking for prayer and you go to Jesus and Jesus, my daughter is sick, please come and help her. And Jesus says, I'll do it, I'll come. And he starts walking towards your house. And then what we see here is he stops everything and begins to talk with this woman who touched him. Now, if you are Jairus or the disciple, I mean, this is what you're thinking, right? You're thinking, Jesus, there's this daughter that's waiting, this girl that's waiting for you. Can you walk faster? Why are you stopping and talking with this woman? I mean, this woman's been sick for a long time and maybe she needs healing, but there's this girl that's, she's about to die. She's really sick. Jesus, please come. And Jairus, I mean, if you were the father of this daughter, I mean, can you imagine in your heart, you're emotionally exploding because you want Jesus to do it faster or quicker. And you're asking, you're praying, you're asking, you're shouting, screaming in your heart, Jesus, please go faster. Please don't stop. But that's what Jesus here does. Jesus delays everything. Jesus stops and heals, heals this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And then when he's done, people from Jairus' house come and say, your daughter is dead. Don't bother Jesus anymore. It's done. She's dead. Now, if you're Jairus, I mean, I think if I was in his point, I'm not very good with emotions. Like, I think I would have just exploded. No, or Jesus, why? Frustration. But before Jairus could say anything, this is what Jesus says to him. He says, do not fear, only believe. Do not fear, only believe. Now, Jairus has an option. either completely trust in Jesus or say, Jesus, what are you talking about? My daughter is dead. You didn't come fast enough. I mean, Jairus is left with just those two options. Now, I think what we see here is I want to point out three things that we can learn about Jesus. And hopefully it will encourage your faith as you trust in him. So why should we trust in Jesus? Why should we have faith in Jesus? Three things. One, during this delay, I think the disciple and Jairus himself learns three things about Jesus. And that's one, Jesus is full of grace. Meaning, you know, Jairus was an important person. He was a ruler of a synagogue. Meaning, he was an important person in the community. Everyone knew him. He probably had status and wealth. People knew his daughter, important family. So when he came to Jesus said, I will go and heal your daughter. People might have expected Jesus to do that. I mean, Jairus is an important person in our society, in our community. Jesus is going to go and heal his daughter. Great. But then Jesus stops everything and talks to this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. This woman is nobody. For 12 years, she didn't relate to anyone, probably. She didn't touch anyone. No one knew her. She's a nobody in this society. But Jesus stops everything and talks with her and heals her. Why would Jesus do this? I mean, even for disciples, Jesus, Jairus, important person, his daughter is dying. You're asking who touched you and this woman's coming. Who knows who she is? You know why Jesus does this? Because Jesus is full of grace. If you look at the Gospels, Jesus is always attracted to people who are broken. Jesus is always attracted to those who are marginalized, those who are far from God, those who are poor, those who are broken. And that's what here what we see. Jesus considers this nobody in this community important enough for him to go and minister to her. What do we learn about Jesus? Jesus is full of grace. And what that means is you don't have to have everything said. You don't have to have status and wealth and everything else to come to Christ. Matter of fact, if you today feel you haven't met up to God's standards, you feel a sense of isolation, you feel messy inside, you feel broken, you're in the right place. Jesus is attracted to people who are in that situation, people who are on the outskirts, people who are marginalized. Jesus is always going to those people. So today, if you're in that situation, know that Jesus loves you. His heart pounds for you, full of grace, full of mercy, full of compassion. If that's you, know that you're in a good place. You can turn to him. So we learn, why should we have faith in Jesus? He's full of grace. Number two, he's full of wisdom. Jairus and disciples are asking, Jesus, please hurry. What are you doing talking to this lady? What do we know? We know that Jesus knows much more than the disciples. Jesus knows much more than Jairus. He just simply knows more. He knows that whether she's dead or she's very sick, no problem for him. He can raise the dead. He can heal the sick. So in his mind, he just knows more. He has wisdom. Why should we trust in Christ? Why should we trust in Jesus? Have faith in him, especially when it seems like things are not working out right. Why? Because Jesus simply knows much more, infinitely more than you or I will ever know. He just simply knows more. Give you a quick illustration. When I was in high school, after my freshman year in high school, my parents decided to move. I was an angry teenager. My freshman, I had friends at high school. I thought I was doing pretty well academically. And then my parents just said, okay, we're going to move to a different neighborhood. Better high school, you know, better. And in my heart, I was thinking, I don't want to move. I was so mad, so mad. And they gave me two options, a house that's really far away or a house that's kind of far away. But still, I would have to, change schools. And I was so upset. And I begged them not to go like far out. So they moved to the next town, but that still meant that I had to change high school in the middle of between my freshman year and my sophomore year. And so my sophomore year, junior year, senior year, I didn't really enjoy high school that much. It's a sad story. Didn't enjoy, you know, yeah, anyways. I was upset. I was upset when they decided to do that because I thought I knew better. I thought that they should revolve their decision about buying a house, you know, around me. Of course, I was 15, and they should have done that. You know. But looking back, as I maybe, you know, at junior, senior year, and then in college, looking back, what happened was that actually forced me to kind of detach myself from the friends that I had made at my old high school. And they weren't like, you know, they weren't best, you know, group of kids. And what happened was it forced me actually to get involved with my youth group much, much more. And actually the youth group, that youth group really profoundly shaped my spiritual walk. So looking back at that point, man, I did not like what was happening to my life. But after a few years looking back, gosh, I thought, gosh, you know, I probably would not have had that kind of faith if I had stayed in that high school with those kids. You know, sometimes Jesus delays things in our life. Sometimes Jesus doesn't answer our prayers quickly. It seems like Jesus is doing something else when we are asking him to work on this. What we see here is Jesus simply knows much more. He knew much more in this story. He knew that he had the power to raise the dead. And he needed to speak to this woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. Her eternal destiny was at hand. Jesus simply had much more information than disciples, than Jairus, or anyone else in this story. So friends, that's Jesus in your life. Oftentimes, gosh, we want things to be done quickly, our way. But Jesus simply knows much more, much, much more. We trust him because of his wisdom. Thirdly, lastly, and then we'll close, we place our faith in him because he ultimately wants to take us deeper. If you think about this story, you know, Jairus came to Jesus wanting what? Wanting his daughter to be healed. But what did he get? He got to see a resurrection. Jairus came to ask Jesus, please heal my daughter. My daughter is sick. That's what he wanted. But he ended up seeing Jesus' power, his glory, as he raised his daughter from the dead. What is that? You know, here's what Jesus is after, friends. You know, what happens is we ask, often come to God, and we say, God, I need you to work in my life. I need you to work in my work life, or I need you to work in my marriage, or I need you to work in my relationships. I need your help with this. You know what? When we do that, you know what Jesus is asking or what God's after? He knows what? He's not after a portion of your life. No, he's after your life. And so what happens is Jesus says, we might be asking God to fix this, but Jesus might be after your whole life. He's saying, I don't want to just fix your work situation. No, I want all of you. I want to fix your heart. I want everything about you. And so the question is, do not fear, just believe. What Jesus is after is all of you. He wants you to go deeper with him. We come to God saying, please help us with this. God says, no, I want all of you. And because he wants to give us that much more, he wants to give us resurrection. And so, friends, this morning, if you are thinking and praying, coming to God, asking, God, I need this part of my life to be solved. You know, God might be asking, I'll work on that part of your life, but what I really want is I want all of you. I want you to fully trust me, because when you do, I'm going to give you myself. I'm going to give you all that I have. And friends, that's what God is after in your life. Not a portion, but he wants all of you so that he can work in your life, bless your life, give you the resurrection, and not just a healing. All right, let's pray. I'm done. Let's pray, and I want to give us some time to kind of maybe respond, and then we will close our time. I want to give you a minute to maybe pray about faith, and you know, whether it's me or you, you know, we're all on this journey of faith, and you know, Jesus is calling us to get closer to Him. And maybe there is a segment of your life that you're really wrestling with, and you're asking God, God, help me with this. But you know, He will help you with that, but He wants so much more from you. He wants to give all of Himself to you. So let's take a minute to just kind of search our hearts and respond in prayer before I pray for us. Father, you know where we are in our faith journey. Some of us have a very weak faith. We have many doubts. Others of us, Lord, we're struggling with a particular aspect of our life, and we want your intervention. What we see here is, Jesus, you want all of us. You're full of compassion and love towards your people, and you desire to give us what's best and in your wisdom. And so, Lord, this morning we pray that you would help us to trust in you, a God of grace, God of wisdom, God of love and compassion. Lord, and take hold of us and strengthen our faith so that we might be like this woman in the midst of the crowd, where we can approach you with faith to touch you and to be with you. Lord, strengthen us this morning. Lift us up this morning. Raise our faith so that we might come and begin to touch you in this way. We thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence here. And in Jesus' name we pray.